Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, we're not going to berate this guy. He's got a boxing background. He might knock us around.
Good point.
But he is known as a baseball, maybe one of the most numbers-oriented guys in terms of, like, everybody was a little slow to the analytical party. Brian Kenny, I don't know if you were first at the table, but you were pretty close to being first.
Early adopter.
Yeah, you
is
go.
That right. Reading the Bill James stuff early.
Yes.
And good to see you guys, by the way.
What's going on,
you guys,
buddy?
You guys are great. I talked to you before. You guys still bring it, and that's few and far between these days. So I like, you know, you can be opinionated without being labeled abrasive. And you guys, you got to be opinionated. So anyway, yeah, I got by the time I get on baseball tonight in the late 90s on ESPN, and I'm talking slugging percentage, and I'm talking total player rating and all these things, and people like branded me a heretic. Like, what are you doing? What's wrong with batting average? And I'm like, no, there's a new way to examine the game. Anyway, you know, all these years later, now it is swept through the game, and it's still, there's a cultural divide, but the game itself, I think, is even more fascinating the way it's being examined today in the age of baseball ops.
Curious, though. So to have that part of the brain that thinks that way, as yours has for a long time, did you adopt that as a kid? You're collecting baseball cards, watching the game.
No, I'm looking at batting average. Okay. And until the late 80s when this stuff was being written about. But again, I'm following baseball, and again, every Sunday I'm looking at Newsday where's Roy White and the batting averages? Once a week you could see where they were, and I wanted to see where the Yankees were and where Thurman Munson was and everything else. So yeah, you follow batting average, RBIs and home runs and all that, and so it was a natural extension to say, hey, by the way, slugging percentage is a better batting average, total bases and divided by the bats. So why wouldn't you look at that? So I'm always looking at a better way of seeing, like, hey, who are the best players? How do you rank the players? How do you compare them? We were doing that as kids. We just have better tools now.
Yes. Some of my favorite stuff is watching you and Mad Dog go at it.
Yeah.
Because Dog, to me, is more of my mindset of that. Hey, watch the games with your eyes, you know. And you're the stat guy, and I love you guys sparring, going back and forth with each other. Do you think the game has gone too far the other way with data and analytics?
You know, I've always heard that, and I always, like, you've got to be kidding me. And now I would say it can happen. It can definitely happen. I didn't see the current wave happening the way it has, where even last year you heard Brian Cashman talking about, like, you know, hey, people are saying we're too analytic, we're not. But in a way, I'm looking at his players as like, no, you've become analytic robots.
Right.
And a lot of way that, and I didn't foresee that happening. You can get bogged down. The best teams utilize, and this sounds trite, but like a mix of things. Look, data is a reflection, an abstraction of the real world, but it's not the real world. And I would put it this way. There are still so many things we don't understand, so many things that are difficult to quantify. Keep your eyes open for evidence. The evidence might be numbers, but it might not be. And so, like, a lot of times, Dog and I don't disagree on things. We'll say, hey, this guy is a good playoff player. This guy's tough. This guy's reliable. A lot of times we lack the language to back that up, but there's something to, like, everything was always explained when I was a kid and when I was, you know, even coming up through the, you know, broadcasting. Everything was explained with clubhouse chemistry. Mm. I just think that was too broad a statement. I think there are specific things. If we learn nothing last year, we learned that there are things that as a team dynamic we don't quite understand. We saw it with the Mets, with the Padres, with the Cardinals collapsing, mm-hmm. being terrible when they should have been good, when the Mets were so on point the year before with Buck Showalter, and now the attention to detail was gone and they just look like a completely different team.
What do you think, this could be really interesting based on the numbers and based on the projections and some trends that are not favorable to the player that I'm going to bring up, not necessarily him, but a de-emphasis with certain things in baseball. Pete Alonso, masher, preeminent home run hitter, phenomenal, 30, slow-footed, righty first baseman. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen the goals.
The type of guy Sabermetrics hates.
Right. Precisely. What kind of contract do you think he's looking at?
Well, yeah. Well, he's going to be difficult to quantify because if you look at just his like his triple slash line, what's his batting average on base and slugging? That tells you an awful lot. Mm. And if his batting average was very low, on base is okay, and even his slugging was like .514, right around there last year. That's not overly impressive. And yet, look at his total bases. And again, just expand beyond like, oh, okay, these are my normal analytic numbers. There's something about he's in the lineup a ton. He is averaging over 300 total bases a year. That has value. So there are guys like that. Paul Konerko was a guy like that.
That's good. That's
Garrett
good
Anderson was a guy like that. So guys who play 158 and fill the box, I think it's almost undervalued out there. And that's why I look at a very old school stat. What are your total bases? Total bases plus walks. How much volume are you bringing? So actually, Pete Alonso is a very valuable guy when you look at the volume of his production.
You know, I'm not opposed to the data and analytics. Obviously, you can't be. Otherwise, you'd be an idiot. By the way, we're talking with Brian Kenny, host of MLB Now, weekdays at 12 p.m. here on MLB Network. We're live here from the beautiful studios. This is heaven on earth for me, for baseball fans. But I don't like it when it shows its impact on the field. So if you want to use it, not you specifically, Brian, but if teams want to use it to help them better evaluate players, sure. But when you start talking about the launch angle and strikeouts not mattering, that hurts the appeal of the game. And I know baseball, to their credit, has now changed some rules to where they try to make the game go back to stolen bases, where stolen bases, I guess, in analytics world is a useless thing.
Now if you get caught a lot. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
well,
it was overrated back in the day.
Right, so now it's becoming more of a thing. So how do teams get smart to where they implement all the data and analytics and the information, but yet not have it impact the game as much in a negative way?
Well, look, there's a lot of things there. One, you know who's really into analytics now? The players. They want all this information because these are the tools of their trade. So you talk about launch angle and the risk reward hard
spin
swing that you do and spin rate, all these different things, and exit velocity and your barrel rate. The players are hip to this. They speak that language because they're incentivized to know this. This is their art. This is their craft. The other thing that you're saying is there is a difference between doing what is best for your team and what is best for the game of baseball.
Right.
But if you're running the Mets, the Yankees, or the Royals, it's not your job to make baseball entertaining. That's the league's job.
So they got to figure that out.
Your job is to, like, if you're saying, hey, we're going to swing for the fences and we want to have an Adam Dunn style, right? Is that the most aesthetically pleasing? No. But if it wins, it would behoove you to play that style.
Adam Dunn, Richie Sexton, guys
like
that. Home runs and walks.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But I also, as I'll point out, I didn't foresee that the entire league would be playing that game.
I got you.
I used to say Adam Dunn's a very valuable guy, but I didn't want the whole league to be Joey Gallo. I didn't want that.
It's true. It's Brian Kenny with us here, Pete and Sal. On the Fan, we are at the studios today, which has been a great treat for us, as Sal said. MLB Network live coverage beginning tomorrow at 9 for opening day, and the showcase telecast, Dodgers and the Cardinals at 4. All right, Brian, forget about the numbers, though. I'm sure you'll incorporate this to get to your answer on some level. You've got one game to win. You've got one pitcher to give the baseball to. Pedro, Seaver, Cy Young, Warren Spahn, Bob. Like, where do you go? Who are you giving that baseball to? Must win.
You mean like one? Well, if I could pick one season. Well, I'll just go out. I did a thing in our top 10 right now series. We rank all the players by position, top 10 right now. And this year we incorporated top 10 not in the Hall of Fame, position by position. And one guy that...
I usually watch all these. This seems like a good one.
You'd love this. It's right up your alley because, again, I'm getting in players like if it's like at number 10 in right field, I think I had Tim Salmon versus Daryl Strawberry. It's well, a real match.
Mattingly better be high. And so, same with Keith
Mattingly
Hernandez.
Mattingly and Hernandez are in my top three or five. I think I had Mattingly number one because I love Matt. Like, and there's a reason I could do a half hour on Mattingly if you want.
I could do but 2 hours.
Dick Allen is there too.
Oh, the Phillies, yeah,
and Keith Hernandez, right? Those are the guys. They should. Those guys are Hall of Famers.
Okay.
And I always hear about people say, "Well, but he didn't do it long enough." And I always say, "Who says?" Like what you say, like the, if you're a baseball writer, I'm a peak guy. Mattingly, Dale Murphy should be in the Hall of Fame. Keith Hernandez is the best ever field at the position. 7 out of 8 years, he's top three in on-base percentage. And before we properly valued on-base. It's in my book. I wrote a book.
And he won the MVP, by the way, in 79.
Guy's a marvelous player. Yep. Baseball awareness skills, a lot of the things we don't quite measure, he was off the charts. What was your question?
One pitcher.
Oral Hershiser.
Wow. In one big game? What, because of the 55 scoreless innings, whatever it was?
If you look through the game, with the exception of maybe some insane Christy Mathison, Walter Johnson, old-timey, when the game was still not in an infancy, but it hadn't fully matured, with the exception of that, you would want Oral Hershiser's 1988 over any other player.
Better than Bob Gibson's 68 season?
Yeah,
where they wound up lowering the mound? Really?
And also, he went through the playoffs eliminated the Mets, came on in a relief appearance. He was sensational. And compared to
Pedro, Pedro.
Well, Pedro's 99 and 2000 are the greatest of all
against
time.
Against steroid guys.
But in the toughest division.
Yep.
And yet I've never seen, Ron Guidry's 1978. He also had an August and September. Take a look at the line score pitch game by game, Guidry down the stretch when they were hunting down the Red Sox.
Yes.
But I Oral Hershiser is a strong Hall of Fame candidate.
Didn't expect that
and
answer.
You might say he's like the ultimate weapon for one season.
I'd rather have that. We're talking with Brian Kenny here live at the MLB Network, host of MLB Now, weekdays 12 p.m. I'd rather have Mattingly, Hershiser, peak guys in than the compilers. And not
like Craig Biggio?
Well, not even Biggio. Harold Baines, even Scott Rolen. I know Rolen's a great player, but when I watch him, I didn't think he was a great player.
That's always my point in that I'm always told, oh, Murphy, oh, Mattingly. And it's like, wait, these guys weren't good. They were great. They're better than most of the guys you're talking
about. Correct!
Actually, Mattingly and Murphy, if you get there X amount of years, now it might be 4 years, it might be six, it might be eight, but these guys were the best guys in their league for a 2 to 3 year period. And everyone says, well, what are you going to do, put every player that you can say that about in the Hall of Fame? And my answer is yes. There's not that many of them.
No, there's not.
And the guys that you can say at any point were the best in their league for a 3 to 4 year period, they're already in the Hall of Fame.
Those guys are more Hall of Fame worthy to me than a guy who puts up numbers for 10, maybe 15 years, whatever, but does it like at a mid-level.
And I think what the magic of Mattingly is to get into the weeds on that.
Oh, let's go weed-seeking. I'm all in.
It's that his batting average was absurdly high. His strikeout rate was absurdly low.
Yep.
Guys, Brendan, he struck out like 35, 40 times a season.
I know.
While slugging .550, he was Tony Gwynn with the batting average and the contact.
Yep.
He was Tony Gwynn with 100 more points in slugging. That's why guys our age talk Mattingly like we can't, like this guy was a god. There's a reason why he's spoken about, and people talk and they're awestruck. You know how many times I'm listening to a game on the national level and there'll be someone saying, you know who meant the world to me when I first entered a major league clubhouse? It was Don Mattingly. Everyone's like, all right, we have all these stories. And when Mattingly was on that veterans committee, right, that Fred McGriff got in. That was great. That was a great call. Fred McGriff has to be in.
Yep.
But
Long overdue.
The thought of like Mattingly and Murphy being on that stage in Cooperstown just like filled me with delight. Like, why wouldn't we want to see that? Wouldn't that make you feel good about baseball? Instead of thinking about what steroid guys should be in, should we ignore that?
Yep.
How about rewarding excellence? How about feeling good about baseball and your memories about baseball? Dale Murphy and Don Mattingly on that stage in Cooperstown would be fantastic. The best possible scenario.
As long as you put Keith in as well. If Mattingly's
it was 7 years ago, I wrote Ahead of the Curve, and I had a Hall of Fame chapter. In it, I put in where the baseball writers as voters have failed. because the one advantage they have, they're supposed to have, is that they watch the games. That's what Mad Dog says.
Not just
watch the games.
Watch the games.
Get away from, get your head out of the stat book. Watch the games. And I pointed out guys like Alan Trammell and Keith Hernandez saying, if you watch the games, they're better than you think. They get, the more you watch them, the more you go, oh, God, that guy's better than his numbers. I know. And Keith Hernandez is hitting, you know, 310 with a 400
clutch
on base. But he's actually, right, and he's commanding the field.
No question.
Nobody could bunt on them.
Nope.
You couldn't advance base runners on him. He's better. Like, all those little things that we talk about are actually big things. So when you watch them, those guys are better than you think.
Especially then when they were dropping down bunts. And they were, it was a totally
balls
different
in
game
play,
in terms of
ton.
Speed. Balls in play. A lot more contact. Listen, Bri, we're breaking only because we have to. Really, you came by to say hi when we got here this morning setting up shop. Thanks for rolling back. I know you have a busy day tomorrow and obviously the start of the season. Fantastic job. Really good hanging with you for
you
a little.
Guys
thank
are great.
You, buddy.
That's great. We'll do it again. Thank Peak Hall of Famers. Stay on it.
I love it. We're on it. Man. We're on
we're
it.
We're going to be seeing you every day. I'm telling everybody. We got the BT and Sal Simulcast. You guys think I'm kidding. BT and Sal Simulcast.
And you do the master ceremonies for the Hall of Fame, which is tremendous.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we'll definitely at the very least have you on during the Hall of Fame ceremony or stuff next week.
We'll do it.
Or next season.
We'll do it.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Brian Kenny, of course.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.